dig deep into your mind. This is 1 a.m., live and direct and in full effect. And I'm here to give you some pointers, some tips on how to hack your mind. Now, first, I'm going to start off with this poem. And this poem, right, is called How a Man Thinketh by James Henley. Mind is the master power that molds and makes. Man is mind, and evermore he takes the tool of thought in shaping what he wills. Brings forth a thousand joys or a thousand ills. We think in secret and it comes to pass. Our environment is but our looking glass. I'm sorry, that was by James Allen. Please forgive me. So, it has been said that man is not his body, but man is mind with a body wrapped around it. Your breath, your spirit. Your breath is your spirit, which gives your body life. And to lack breath, you lack life. But to also critically damage the mind, you lose life. So spirit is breath. And man is mind. So to lose breath or not to be able to breathe, you lose life. But also to lose the function of one's brain, one is either rendered a vegetable, brain damaged, or they also lose their life. So thinking is a divine practice. Thinking is a divine instrument of man. Thought precedeth the action. And nothing is real until it's perceived. This is what physics says. In the Egyptians or Chemites, where the word chemistry and chemical derives from in the English language, say that the seat of a man's soul is in your pineal gland. You have the pituitary gland and the pineal gland, where the pineal gland creates melanin and melatonin and serotonin, which regulates sleep cycles. And melatonin, which gives you a protective layer in the color in your skin and allows you to redistribute the sun rays and metamorph them into vitamin D. So if the seat of one's soul is the mind, isn't it or wouldn't it be very, very important and critical for man to take control of his mind? Or do you believe that you cannot control your mind? Or do you believe that the thoughts in your mind are uncontrollable? I used to think I couldn't control my thoughts. Well, simply, I wasn't at the state of mind and the state of being and the state of power internally to control those thoughts. When I didn't feel like doing something, I just didn't do it. And when those thoughts of repetitious negativity hit me, it affected me on a cellular level because I believed those thoughts about myself. I believed the negativity about myself, which hence paralyzed me or made me act in a way to where I did not act at 100% of my skill or talent level. I lost when I should have won. That's how powerful thought is, because what you believe, you will direct in a laser beam style focus. So if man is mind and evermore he takes the tool of thought and shaping what he wills, as James Allen said, right, then ultimately what you believe will create an outcome in your life that's conducive to your majority thought pattern, to what thoughts in your mind that you have majority of the time. So repetition is what allows an individual to get into their subconscious mind. And the God that created you to be a by any means necessary entity and individual that you could accomplish your goals by any means necessary. But a lot of people's goal has been to fail. This is why they fear public speaking. This is why they fear excelling and doing things that they know that they should be doing and know that they want to do, but they allow fear to grip them because they don't believe that they will succeed, and they believe that they are saving themselves from pain by not even trying to do it. Well, in order to get muscles, you must go through the pain and the strain of exercise. So you must exercise in your life and go through the pain to get to the pleasure. You cannot have the pleasure of having muscles without having the pain of the soreness that it takes to condition those muscles through exercise. You feel me? So think about it. You fear failure when failure shows you what not to do. You fear falling when falling shows you how to stand on your two feet in balance. So one cannot move forward if one is not willing to fail, if one is not willing to feel some type of pain, if one is cannot deal with criticism, if one cannot deal with the harshness of the world, you can never get to the pleasure. So the same thing you seek to save yourself from, a pain of embarrassment, of failure, is the same thing that you actually bring into existence. Failure, because you are a failure if you make $200,000, but your dream and your goal was to be a scientist, was to be an athlete, was to be in shape, it was to be whatever that you have in your heart's desire to be, but you never do and you never manifest, because even though you may have some sense of financial success and you may have never even reached that level, you still have this sense of disappointment, you still have this sense of emptiness, you still have this hole in your soul, because man is mine. And evermore he takes the tool of thought and shaping what he wills, he brings forth 1,000 joys or 1,000 ills. Remember, we think in secret and it comes to pass. Past, our environment is but our looking glass. So we know what you're thinking, because we can see your environment. We can see your life. When people say, oh, you've changed, you're not the same individual. Why do they say that? Because they see you doing different things. They see different results in your life. They see you reaching different plateaus. They see you becoming and thinking and talking and doing things that you've never done before. And they've associated with you with activity that was not conducive to what you are doing right now. So they're like, whoa. Who is this person? Who is this new individual? You have changed. But how does one change? Now, a child does not change, because a child does not have a defined personality. It has a destiny, a divine destiny. And based upon the environment that is placed in, because remember, environment is stronger than heredity. A child could be born or birthed from parents who are physically fit and naturally in shape. There are certain people that they don't have to work out as long as they're not obese and their body has a certain level of definition that they can always, you know, improve on, but they have a certain level of definition. Just certain people are just like that, right? As long as they're skinny, or as long as they're not overweight, you'll see it. Those are based upon their genetics. Some other people, they're not defined. But if you place that same child into an environment, right, that, you know, they once were in an environment to where they didn't overconsume and overeat, then you place them into another environment to where, you know, put them in a foster child, a care system, and they are with now a foster parent who increasingly feeds them crap and non-healthy food, then that child will get fat. Or a child who was a problem student now has people in front of them who are tutoring them, who are taking the time and attention to make sure that child learns certain things. And now that problem child, that juvenile delinquent, is now functioning in a different capacity based upon its environment. So a child is mainly subconscious mind. Because a child, everybody has 100 billion neurons and 100 trillion synapses. Actually, women have more neural connections than men, a smaller brain, but have more neural connections than men, and are able to think in a more complex, strategic manner. But anyway, right? So a child is mainly subconscious mind, because who they are has not become defined yet or hardwired into their system, because they are filling those neurons. Neurons is with the knowledge and information that an individual and experiences that an individual has had in their life lie. And the synapses are the connections between that knowledge and that information. Now, most of the synapses in a child's brain are actually connected to neurons, but the neurons don't have anything in it. And this is why it's easy for a child to learn things, because the synaptic connections are already there. But as a child grows, certain synaptic connections begin to get disconnected, and certain ones become stronger and more hardwired based upon the information, knowledge, and experiences that that child has. So think about this, right? Who you are, the Jesuit, the Catholic order of the Jesuit priests said that, give me a child until the age of 7 and I will give you that man. They won't deviate from that path. But did they know? They knew that an individual or human being is the most impressionable in those years. And by the 7th year, they become less open. They become more hardwired. Until you get to adulthood, and then individuals think that they know things and have this ego that this is who I am. So it's so hard. And then it's so hard for them to change and rearrange. Change becomes something far-fetched, something out there, right? Because those subconscious connections, those subconscious imprints are already there. And what is the subconscious mind? It's the same mind that allows you to breathe without thinking about it. It's the same mind that regenerates your organs about every 9 months and sheds your skin and pumps your blood and activates your pituitary gland to secrete hormones that make you feel the way that you feel. So it's that part of your mind that's always working, that's in the background, working 24/7, 365 to the day that you died. And his language is a little different. It doesn't speak the same language as your conscious mind, right? It doesn't speak the same language as your conscious mind. It works in the background. It will take all of the information, knowledge, and wisdom that you've ever had that you don't seemingly consciously have access to, but subconsciously you have access to every bit of information that has ever entered into your cipher. You have more than 10 terabytes of storage capacity in the mind. And every minute you receive about 40 million bits of information from the environment that you are in. You notice everything, but you're not allowed to consciously notice everything. And only 40 bits of that information a minute you are able to actually understand. or interpret or be consciously aware of. Because if you were aware of 40 billion bits of information consciously and not unconsciously, then you would really go crazy. You would have an information overload. So that part of your mind, that part of your brain, that part of you that interprets that information is on a subconscious level and is working to formulate that information and put that knowledge together and store it and use it at the proper time. This is why we have certain things lying dormant inside of us. This is why, see, you know everything. You just don't remember everything. Like, how do you know everything? How does your body know how to pump blood? How does your body know how to regenerate itself? How does your body know how to breathe? How does your body know how to do all the autonomous functions that it does automatically without you giving it the command? Because your body knows itself. You just don't know your body, you know, consciously. But unconsciously, your body knows itself. So we all have a divine destiny and a divine work or job that we've been sent here to do. But how do we do that divine job? We have to begin to be who we were sent here to be. When I was talking about fear earlier and how we fear to do the things that are in our heart or our hearts, that's your divine destiny. That's what you are sent here to do. And your mind will trouble you no matter how much money you make, no matter how much success and how much praise people give you for doing what you know that you're not sent here to do. And until you do what's in your heart or hearts, your mind will trouble you. Because when you have troubles, depression is only a signal that you're doing the wrong thing, that you are not living your purpose, that is something that you really want to do or really want to be or really want to accomplish that you are not doing. So you know everything unconsciously, but you start off empty consciously. Consciously, a baby knows nothing. But from day one, it begins to learn. Its rate of learning is so rapid that it makes adults look stupid. Children are extremely intelligent because they're learning at a rapid pace. They are all geniuses. And then once they get to a certain age, the genius, I wouldn't say the genius gene, but the world, the way the world is structured, begins to shut the genius off. They stop asking so many questions. They start being extremely self-conscious and self-aware. It all begins to be about them and how they feel and how people are interpreting them and how they're going to look to other people. And it shuts down the ego. Ego begins to shut down certain parts of the brain and certain parts of the individual, disallowing you to connect to the infinite mind. And you connect to the individual mind. The individual mind is the conscious mind, and the infinite mind is the collective hive brain of the world, where you're able to connect to all the information that ever was, with all the information that you ever digested, with all the information when you start to get what Malachi Z. York said, the outformation. The information is the knowledge and wisdom that you've encoded inside of yourself. The outformation is a part of the epiphanies that you get and the understanding and the wisdom that you're like, damn, I never even thought about that. But yet I have an understanding of it. Where does that come from? That comes from the subconscious part of your brain. And the subconscious parts of your brain are formulating knowledge and information from around you, from your experiences. Right? Right? I forget the name of the movie with a girl, you know, she took Limitless. Was it Limitless? Where she took the pills, or was a guy, whatever, a girl or a guy took the pills, and they unlocked their mind. They unlocked and they had, she had the ability to access all of the information that they had ever stored inside of their mental hard drive. And they were able to go through information at an extremely fast rate, and they were able to do things that the average individual wasn't able to do. See, what stops you? Your awareness, or your false awareness of how you think the world perceives you. So now most of your thought patterns is based upon how are people looking at me? How, you know, if I do that, how people, you know, what people are going to say if I do that? Now I'm doing something that people aren't used to me doing. So now people are judging me. Now people are looking. So it's all based upon this negative part of your ego that's based upon saving you from pain and hurt, that's saving you from the judgment of other individuals, instead of you just functioning in the capacity the way you just go. You have a thought and you accomplish what you think without worrying about what other people are talking about and how other people are viewing you. Then you're able, like I said before, to tap into the hive mind. But when you tap into the individualistic mind, it's based upon saving you from pain and saving you from hurt. So you are rendered in a state of paralysis when it comes to accomplishing your goal, when it comes to doing things out of the box, because you don't want to be judged, you don't want to be talked about, you don't want to be seen failing. This is revenge of the pussies. We've been all programmed to fear. And since we've been programmed to fear, we've been programmed to fit inside of a box that allows the world to continue to be the way that it is for those who are in positions of power and authority, because they know the human mind is so powerful that it can destroy the matrix almost instantaneously if the minds are unlocked. Just think about, see, think about Jet Li in the movie The One. You think about Limitless, right? When the individual unlocks their brain and they unlock the ability to tap into all the information, knowledge, and wisdom that they've ever, ever, ever come in contact with, consciously, unconsciously, and also knowledge and information that they weren't even aware that they came in contact with it. They just glanced at for a second, because your mind codifies all that information in your subconscious mind, and it stores it in your hippocampus, and your hippocampus is where all your memories lie. You got a perfect memory, but you can't tap into that perfect memory because you are not in the hive mind. You're in the singular mind, and the hive mind is when you can tap into all. But going to Jet Li the One, right? Because Limitless, you can tap into the fullest capacity of the mind, and you can do things that seemingly are impossible, or are seemingly being done by an individual that's a quote-unquote genius, right? Now you're in that hive mind. So once you tap into that hive mind and you become the One, because remember that fear derives from you thinking about, that fear derives from you being in that singular mind, and in that singular mind, it's all about you. And even if it's all about you in a positive way, you become egotistic and arrogant. But if it's in a negative way, now you become self-destructive towards the self, and you become insecure. See, in the singular mind, there's insecurity and there's arrogance. But in Jet Li, the One, he began to destroy different versions of, or kill different versions of himself in parallel universes. So understand this, that when one has contradictive thoughts, it makes you tap into these realities that animate those negative thoughts, because those negative thoughts is really a parallel universe that if you believe the negative thought, then you act and align with that negative thought, and it creates an outcome that's conducive to that negative thought. So the more you kill the negative thoughts, the less noise you have in your brain. So the more you destroy negative thought patterns to the point to where you can be like a monk and you can quiet the mind, then you can melt the snow around you, then you can levitate, then you can concentrate, and you can light up on an fMRI scan or a PET scan, your frontal lobe, and you can control your mind. Then you become powerful and limitless, because Jet Li, each time that he killed a version of himself in the One, he became more powerful. Until the point where they said that if he killed the last version of himself in the last parallel universe, he would destroy and collapse the stability of life in the universe, would come tumbling and smashing in on itself. So the time police or the universal police were trying to stop him from accomplishing this goal, right? They were trying to stop him from accomplishing this goal, from going from parallel universe to parallel universe and killing himself. But think about it. Think about it. One enlightened individual can change the whole world. One enlightened individual. I'm going to read you a quote now. And it says that our deepest fears is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fears is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Remember, we're going back to fear. Fear is the singular mind. Right? How are you able to liberate other people from that fear? Because you are liberated from your own fear. So now you tap into the hive mind. It can fill your consciousness. It's not an individualistic, scarcity, fearful consciousness that's only worried about self. Now you have the ability to tap into their mind and activate the part of their mind that is infinite knowledge and infinite wisdom and infinite understanding in you. You unlock that part of them, because by freeing yourself, you're able to free others, because we have what's called mirror neurons. When those mirror neurons begin to reflect our environment and our associations, this is why great individuals, great orators, great leaders can implant their minds into the people who follow them, because those mirror neurons begin to fire. Because they see an activated human being, an individual without fear, an individual that's not operating on the singular mind, when one can only function for self. And your family is a part of self. That's how you become infinite. And this is why you can only take care of you and your family, because you're functioning off of the singular mind. And your family is only a split, a fraction of you and your mate. So a part of you is in them. So just by only taking care of you, or only worrying about you and your family, you're still in the singular mind. So to get into the hive mind and to be able to truly lead from a position of fearlessness, then you are firing off mirror neurons and other people that were lying dormant, that weren't activated. Because see, one thing our ancient ancestors from Kemet or Egypt knew is that images shape our reality, and that images would give us a reflection or a way to identify ourselves before we even get to that point of growth and development. If we see somebody else, that's why history best rewards the researcher, right? And this is why those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Because by knowing history, having those images in your mind of history, when certain things start to come around and you start to see the mirroring of those instances, you can say, whoa. This is why the Jews say never again, and they teach their children about it. Because once they start to see, or once they think they see an individual who reflects, right? what they think Hitler is, we got to get rid of this individual. And this is why they try to falsely say that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Black Hitler, when he ain't teaching nobody to kill Jewish people, but that's something else, because they're just in fear. Last time they heard somebody talk about them, but they have certain things that they've done to people, just like certain things have been done to them, and they've dominated and oppressed people based upon their school of thought and understanding of how to move into the world. But that's a whole nother series of understanding. But going back to it, it says that as we let our own light shine, we consciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And when Jet Li was killing the different versions of himself in the movie The One, he began to become stronger and stronger and stronger in the collapse of that universe, that they feared that once he killed the last version of himself, he would collapse the universe. But that last version of himself is the last negative thought, to where you can get to a singular laser focus mindset, to where you can accomplish anything that you think about, anything that you desire that's in your heart of hearts, you can make happen. And you can make it happen the fastest when you don't have doubt and fear and insecurity blocking you, because insecurity, doubt, fear, low self-esteem, poor self-image are all like a cloudy day, and it's foggy as hell in your brain, so it's hard for you to maneuver through the fog. You don't know what to believe. A lot of these thoughts ain't even you. They other people that you've associated with you, you know, by firing those mirror neurons in a negative way. See, once you clear the fog up, and you are able to have a singular thought, not a singular mind, that's based upon just you and how you think the world is viewing you and how you can avoid fear. No, but a singular thought. And that singular thought allows you to use that thought like a laser to accomplish anything that you want to accomplish. And you become so powerful. Your aura, your state of being becomes so powerful that you liberate others. And that the matrix that we live in, created by the people who rule society and rule this world, will begin to fall apart. This is why, once you reach a certain level of spiritual activation, it is incumbent upon you to touch the world. It's a responsibility. Monks are selfish. I'm sorry. You can sit there and you can meditate and levitate and you can melt the ice around you, but yet you segregate yourself from the world. You segregate yourself. You know, you're a secret. You just hold for yourself and you and your students. You know, that's what I really can't appreciate you. Because it's about unlocking not just your mind, but giving other people permission to shine. Because remember, our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. We're actually comfortable in inadequacy. This is the type of world that we've been born in, the type of world that makes us, that we're comfortable with being mediocre. When we're all born geniuses and that genius is crushed, that creative mind is crushed as a child. Games are for children. Adults have to be serious, and adults have to, you know, we can't, you know, as an adult, you have to be responsible. No, meaning that you have to pay bills, meaning that you have to hold up an infrastructure that is based upon fake money. So you go to work for fake money that has no value, that's not even backed by anything, that's not backed by gold or any natural resources, that is fiat currency, that is no longer that is legal tender, that is no longer a silver certificate or a gold certificate that you can go and cash in for a piece of gold or silver, an actual piece of true wealth, which is God's money, silver, gold, platinum, diamonds, rubies, precious stones, and gems. See, here's the thing. You are mind. But if you don't control your mind, It used to be in the average data that the average individual was advertised to over 15,000 times. They saw over 15,000 different forms of advertisement, whether it was a sign, a symbol that was on their tag, whether it was a commercial, whether it was a billboard, whether it was a logo on a book, a logo on somebody's clothing, you know, whether it was a sign on the back of a car, a Lexus, whatever it is. See, you so many times that you've been advertised to that you don't even know that you've been advertised to, because it's just an overload of it. So that means that people are implanting signs and symbols into your brain, and these signs and symbols unlock thought patterns and unlock, because a logo represents a company, and a company is a fictitious entity, and the entity or living entity is a human being. So a corporation becomes a false entity, and it's just like when you know somebody's name or you know somebody, when you think about their name, you also think about their characteristics simultaneously. Also think about who they are. Are they a delightful individual? Do they make you feel good or do they make you feel bad? You may not think about it consciously or subconsciously, but let somebody call you that you really don't rock with like that, and you're like, oh, this person, like, damn, I don't feel like answering the phone. And you gotta answer the phone, it's your boss or something, but you like, man, but let it be an individual that makes you smile, that makes you laugh when you see that. Oh, yo, hold on, let me see what they talking about. You can't wait to pick the phone up. Don't act like you don't know what I'm saying. You feel me? This world has educated you to be out of control and not in control of your mind, and to live a life based upon running after money. That's why you're in a rat race, running after cheese. We call it cheese, call money cheese, in a rat race for money to pay bills. And your family talks about, you know, tricks up for kids. You shouldn't dream and being creative and all that. That's all good, but no, you know. Don't dream. You got to work. You got to be responsible. Yet you work at somebody's manifested dream, because each company started in the mind of an individual and turned into a company based upon that individual's zest and will and desire and hard work to turn it into a physical thing, an actual company. And a company is a fictitious entity. So when you see these logos, when you see these things, you associate it with a certain persona. When you see Nike, you think about great athletes. You feel me? You think about great athletes. When you think about Amazon, you think about ordering things online and fast delivery and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We could go on and on and on and on and on about the associations with brands and what they mean in the minds of people. But ultimately, you have to take control over the thought processes in your mind. And how do you take control over the thought processes in your mind? There's three ways in order to change: through trauma, through repetition, or through association. Now, if you go through a traumatic situation, normally you are sensitive towards anything that looks that way, because you changed, you put your guard up, you've said, oh no, that's why, you know, certain people took being homeless and broke as a sign to change, because it was so traumatic to them, it was so painful to them that they said, I will do anything to get out of this situation, I would do anything to change, I would sweep floors, I will read all day and night to figure out how to start a company, to figure out how to get out of the condition and the situation that I'm in. This is why certain inmates come out and they say, I ain't going back. And they do whatever they got to do to not go back to jail, because it was so traumatic to them that they figured that whatever they had to suffer not to go back to there is better than what they had to suffer when they was in there. Repetition. Whatever you consistently think and consistently do will become a habit. Now, habits can affect you negatively or positively. Bad habits are easy to form but have negative consequences. It's easy to start smoking and drinking and to develop that into a habit. But then it's hard. It's hard, right? To stop. It's easy to start, but it's hard to stop. It's difficult to start on a workout regimen because you got to do it when you don't even feel like doing it. You got to conquer those negative thoughts that's in your mind. And then once you do it when you don't feel like doing it, it becomes a habit and you find pleasure in the discomfort of doing the positive habit that gets you positive results. You become addicted to the results of that habit. So the pain of accomplishing or doing that habit are conquered by the pleasure of the benefits of that habit. Association. If you hang out with 5 broke people, you're destined to be the 6th broke one. So who you associate with, environment is stronger than heredity. Who you associate with, you know, we're competitive people. So if everybody around you is starting companies and you haven't started a company, you're either going to separate yourself from them people or you're going to step your game up. You'll be like, shit, I ain't going to let them start a company and I'm not going to do like how I'm not going to. Or you may not start a company. You're going to start helping one of them accomplish their goals inside of their country. You're going to be a good number two, man, but you're going to be involved in the entrepreneurial endeavors one way or another. Or you have to separate yourself because opposites attract, but they eventually repel. Say it again. Opposites attract, but they eventually repel because they don't relate to each other. It's like, oh, I'm not used to being around somebody. It's you know, it's like the average black person that's with a white person, right? Now, they may not repel. They may stay with that individual their whole life, which I don't really understand, but whatever. And this is true on both sides, that is something different. You know, she's like, oh, he's not Peter or Paul. You know, this is Shahid or this Tyrone, you know, he's different from Peter or Paul. You feel me? And it's a pleasurable thing on certain levels, but then on other levels, it's a very uncomfortable thing because once you bring them around your family and they begin to associate with your family, you can't relate. Once certain things that affect your people begin to happen to you and you become emotionally invested in those things that are associated with your people, that individual cannot relate. So it creates pain. It creates a disconnect. Because if we can't have conversations about things that are meaningful to both of us, things that are relative to both of us, it causes a disconnect. It causes a gap that can't be closed. So opposites attract, but they eventually repel because they don't truly relate to each other. And as truly, you may understand it, but you like, that ain't me. This is why rich people can only hang out with somebody who has a lack of finances, but has a wealthy consciousness. They can hang out with you if you have a wealthy consciousness. You just haven't connected your bank account to your consciousness. All right, they can deal with that. They can understand that you on the path to riches. You're already rich because the wealth starts in the mind. But a wealthy person cannot hang around an individual that has a poverty consciousness because that poverty consciousness contradicts their wealth consciousness. The things that you say in certain situations and the way that you think and the way that you move, the other individual be like, why are you doing that? It's like when Moses traveled with the wise man and he kept questioning the wise man, and the wise man was like, look, you either gonna follow me and be quiet, right, and understand that the way that I'm moving is through wisdom, or you know, we're gonna have to part ways, you know. And Moses questioned him a couple times, right, and he was about to cut Moses off, but then, you know, Moses said, all right, I'm not gonna question you again. And then he did something else, and then Moses questioned him, and then the wise man was like, this is where me and you part. because you don't understand what I'm doing. Like, they was broke. They ain't have no money. But yet Moses, I think Moses buried some money underneath this wall that he got from, not Moses, the wise man buried some money underneath this wall that he got something from somebody else, right? And then he killed somebody, and Moses was questioning all this way. And then once the wise man got tired of Moses, he said, all right, well, look, I know we was hungry. I know we ain't have no food. And I know we could have used that money, but that money was an inheritance for somebody else that was going to come and get it at a later date. I killed that individual because they were going to grow up to be a great disappointment and wicked and evil and not a good representation for their mother and their father, and it laid the path for them to have a child that was going to be honorable for them. See, this is why when you control your mind, you have the ability to do anything. It's why when you control your mind, you have the ability to do everything, because you stop questioning and you start doing. Stop questioning whether something is possible and really believe that every and anything is possible. And the person that says something is impossible and the person that says something is possible, both are correct. So break the negative neural connections through repetition and through association and through the trauma of not being who you really are, and the pain. Remember that pain when you want to quit. Remember those negative emotions and feelings when you want to quit. Remember where you were, and remember, and then think about where you are, and think about the fact that you don't want to go back. Your mind is kind of a garden, and the seed that you plant will grow. And if you let the weeds grow, then you'll have negative thoughts. But if you pull the weeds from the root, you pull them up from the root, and you plant vegetables, and you plant fruit trees, and when they come to manifestation, to harvest, you will have a plentiful feast. So tend to the field of your mind and plant the seeds and water those seeds and tend to those plants that you've put into the ground and watered and nurtured. And then you'll be in control of your mind. Because what? Man is mind. Right? And man is a mind with a body wrapped around it. Remember that. That you are more than what you've been told that you were. You are more than what you think you are. And you're going to end it with what James Allen said again. As we started it, we will end it. Mind is the master power that molds and makes. Man is mind, and evermore he takes the tool of thought and shaping what he wills. Brings forth 1,000 joys and 1,000 ills. We think in secret, and it comes to pass. Our environment is but our looking glass. James Allen. Thank y'all for tuning into my podcast. Well, I appreciate you. Once again, this is 1 a.m. You can go all over the world. You can go to every continent, every country, every island, nation, every crack, every crevice. You can search, and you will never find an individual or entity like me. This is why I am 1 a.m. and unlock the power that's lying dormant within yourself, and no one else can be you. It is your greatest superpower, your uniqueness. Love it, nurture it, and multiply. Peace.